This is a replay of the Wednesday night, March 4th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together, and I'll make sure it's on my mind if it's on yours and has absolutely no importance whatsoever. But as usual, we've got a few starter topics to get you thinking, and we've got all your requests as well. Now, as far as those starter topics, and a big thanks to Engineer Bob, who sends me some of the best links. And genealogy. I don't know if you're into this or not. I have absolutely no interest whatsoever. But then again, I have absolutely no idea who's really on my family tree, nor do I care. But interestingly, John, because he is a Cornell, as in university, will occasionally get emails or calls or whatever from supposed relatives saying, would you mind taking a DNA test for me? And the answer, of course, is no, we're not doing that. And for some reason, they all want to know, are they related to Ezra or what have you? And I look at these databases and people sign up willy-nilly, and you probably heard the stories about some of them going bankrupt and the information becoming a little more public than anybody knew. Or you might have heard the horror stories of the police using DNA databases. Yes, and suddenly you find out you're related to a mass murderer, that type of thing. So there's a lot of reason to say, I think I'll just wonder. But nonetheless, it continues to be of great interest to millions of people, and it turns out that we all have a common ancestor. Every one of us, and anybody who is listening to me as I speak, is related by this one woman. And if you haven't heard about her, she's Mitochondrial Eve, and as in Adam and. We're not as sure about Adam here, but the deal is that Eve, as we'll call her, a woman, a female, lived in Africa about, 200,000 years ago, give or take a decade. And recent research, the reason Eve is in the news right now, is that they've narrowed down her location. She apparently was related to an oasis in the Kalahari Desert, making it the ancestral homeland of every human being alive today, according to researchers. And they've known for a while that all of us bear the DNA pattern to Mitochondrial Eve, who they actually call Mitochondrial Most Recent Common Ancestor, MTMRCA, or Eve, as far as that goes. As far as Adam, the Y chromosomal Adam, less is known for a lot of reasons, but he's believed to have been also living in Africa, one would think, about anywhere between 150 to 300,000 years ago, give or take a century there. So the idea of a common ancestor has led to people thinking that Mitochondrial Eve was the first female That is not correct. She was the most common recent ancestors to whom every living person can trace their genealogy. But it's not to say that none came before her. Most definitely some did. But as far as looking at those vast family trees and the roots thereof, all of us go back to Eve and mitochondrial Eve. And of course, named as an Eve in the Bible, but it clearly has absolutely nothing to do with that. Every human on the planet carries the Eve gene. Including 147 people and fetuses from the original 1987 study when they found out about Eve. The study was not the first to hypothesize a common ancestor, but researchers did coin the term mitochondrial Eve during that study. And of course, they did, in everybody they researched, manage to trace every last one of them back to our Eve there. So there you have it. We're related after all. Yeah, I'm not sure what any of that means, but just in case you were wondering. Now, 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Food stories? Oh, hey, I specialize in food stories. And it's interesting, we talk about restaurants and chains that have come and gone. What do you do if the chain is dying? How do you spruce it back up? Well, in the case of one pizza chain, it turns out just located inside a Walmart. That's right. And this one is Mr. Gotti's. And don't know if you were a fan or not. Chain did have its fans. They're originally from Texas. And it was a guy who was a retired colonel from the Air Force who opened the restaurant focusing on burgers and was going to sell pizza on the side. But shortly after he opened, which was around 1964, he found that the pizza side of the business was the hot ticket. That was the success. So the restaurant's closed its doors for 3 days, rethought its business model, moved to Austin in 1969, and opened Mr. Gotti's Pizza. And that was apparently the retired colonel's wife's maiden name. And over the decade, across Texas certainly, and most of the Southeast, it grew in popularity. Pizza buffets were becoming popular, and so it was. But by 2019, Mr. Gotti's was in the red, to say the least. And this is before COVID-19, but COVID-19 pretty much did him in. And that signaled the end for Mr. Gotti's. However, not to be dead for long, Mr. Gotti's announced they're opening 92 locations in Walmart locations across 4 states. So certainly those in Texas and the surrounding states will remember Mr. Gotti's, and we'll see if they always say location, location, location. We'll see if Walmart, in fact, does the trick. Most likely, if you are not within driving distance of Texas somewhere, which takes up a lot of land, you might not have experienced Mr. Gotti's, but it's got its following. Smoked provolone cheese is mentioned very often, and of course now they're around. And at the time, they were the only place to make the barbecue chicken pizza, and yeah, of course many since then. So, Mr. Gotti's is back. Yeah. Now, sadly, a lot of them aren't. Yeah. And if you're going down memory lane, Don Pablo's. And I have no idea if they were ever in Chicago. They were started in Lubbock, and this was actually in the 80s, but they did move to the Midwest, so it's possible you had a Don Pablo's. And for a while, it was the second largest Mexican food chain behind Chi-Chi's, which is interesting. So this is more sit-down, obviously, than fast food. And that was the deal, al fresco eating indoors, so they said, and they did well for a time, and apparently not well enough to save them from bankruptcy and extinction. So they're gone, Don Pablo's. Of course, Burger Chef, yeah, if you're listening from Chicago, you remember Burger Chef, and if you lived anywhere in Indiana, absolutely, Burger Chef and Jeff. I've still got the glasses somewhere, I think. And they had over 1,000 locations at their zenith. And they were a true innovator. And this is a time when the McDonald's of the world, and actually only McDonald's, was not yet going to C&D counties, not going to the smaller locations. So if you were in a smaller town, say in Indiana, you didn't have McDonald's, but you probably had Burger Chef and you definitely had Dairy Queen and, you know, like that. And so over 1,000 locations, and they had the Triple Treat, which was the hamburger, fries, and and milkshake. And that was in the 1950s. You get all that for 45 cents. I know, where did we go wrong? First to dole out kids' meals. First to offer the Works Bar, where you could customize your sandwiches. And, of course, the open broil cooking technique, which is what I liked about them, made their burgers just great. Yes, the quarter-pound super chef. And slow decline and all that. And, of course, what happened was, like everything else, everything consolidates. It got bought by Hardee's. And ultimately, about 1996, they retired the name. Beefsteak Charlie's. Yeah, that was Manhattan, the original Beefsteak Charlie's. Now, this was not a Johnny-come-lately. It opened in 1914 as a sports bar, supplying steak sandwiches with a side of horse racing memorabilia. And 1976, the entire metro started to get a real taste for the joint. Yeah, from 1914 to 1976, it was little known. Suddenly, it was franchised, and ultimately 68 locations. With the slogan, "I'll feed you like there's no tomorrow." Larger-than-life portions, all-you-can-eat salad bars, unlimited beer, wine, and sangria. That's right, never-ending alcoholic beverages. What could possibly go wrong? That actually wasn't what did it, though. By 1987, just 11 years after the expansion frenzy, the race ended for poor Charlie. His last location shut down about 20 years ago right now. And so, gone forever. Chi-Chi's we were mentioning. And Chi-Chi's at one time was the biggest. And everybody loved Chi-Chi's. Well, yeah, until. And you know the deal, probably. Unfortunately, when you're sourcing your food, you're doing everything you can to make sure you've got quality ingredients. But, you know, it's a Mexican restaurant. Some of the stuff is going to come from Mexico. Well, a location in Pittsburgh caused an outbreak of Hep A that affected over 600 people and killed four of them. And that was the sudden death, to say the least. It was somewhat on the decline, but that did it. Now, if you are a Chi-Chi's fan, you'll be happy to know that they're to some degree making a comeback. They've got a location that opened in Minnesota a couple months ago. I think they might have one in Arizona, but I'm not sure. Of course, Howard Johnson's, we've talked a lot about that. And yes, Hojo's, yeah. And people wax sentimental and fondly about it, but you see, I remember Hojo Cola, so I have a different opinion. But it was really America's very first giant restaurant chain. And yeah, sit down, obviously, long before fast food. And of course, one of the real boons for it was being located on the highways. Yeah, where you basically had no choice. Howard Johnson's and same thing with hot shops that we've talked about. But turned out that by the 1990s, it was thinning. Last one, Lake George, New York, 2022, gone. Lone Star Steakhouse. I'm like, what? That can't be gone, can it? And apparently, after a few years of gaining its footing, they decided to make it public in 1992, which lassoed a total of over 200 locations. And apparently, by 2017, yeah, lassoed or not, they fell off the horse. They filed for bankruptcy. There is just one Lone Star left operating under the Lone Star name. Now, this is a shock to me because it might be in Guam. No, I don't know where it is. It could be in Guam, actually. But wherever it is, just one. And I'll tell you, if I had been asked, I would have said, yeah, Lone Star, I'm sure they're still there. Nope, gone for a while. Steak and Ale. Yeah, if you're over 50, I think you remember loving Steak and Ale, or if you were in Tennessee, Jolly Ox, because they couldn't put ale in the name. And I thought that was just terrific. It started out in 1966 and was a real model for casual dining, you know, sit down and all that. But they were on the first of the walk-up salad bar, and the prices were really, really decent. And the food was actually pretty darn good. And, 2008... when everything went to hell in a handbasket, they filed for bankruptcy. And that was also a near-death sentence for the sister concept, Bennigan's. But they say there's still hope. There's a couple that's been bringing Bennigan's back to its former glory. And in 2024, they bought the Steak and Ale name back with a location in Burnsville, Minnesota. I don't know if any will emerge in the future. But yeah, new features such as a prime rib carving station. All right. Henry's Hamburgers, you might remember them. And it was spun by Bressler's Ice Cream in 1959 to compete for drive-in space. And ultimately, it lost to lost to McDonald's. But there's one left, and it's in Benton Harbor. Yeah, more to go, and you're welcome to interrupt. 888-876-5593. We haven't even gotten to Arthur Treacher's yet. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.
Well, I ain't superstitious. Black cat just crossed my trail. Well, I ain't superstitious. But a black cat just crossed.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and it was Dave in the North Side who had said, "Did Louis Jordan do a song about superstition?" Well, I have a feeling you mean Howlin' Wolf. I ain't superstitious, and that was a Willie Dixon record, 1961, on Chess. But while as far as I can tell, I thought about that after the show, and I don't know of any Louis Jordan records where superstition or superstitious is in the title. But it did remind me of a couple that I think we'll hear, including a Somebody Done Hoodooed the Hoodoo Man. Yeah, all that and more coming up. But in the meantime, hopefully Dave on the North Side enjoyed Howlin' Wolf. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Starting us off tonight on a high note, I'll tell you what, is Nick in Baltimore. Nick, welcome to WGN Radio. How are you?
Hi, Raleigh. I don't know. Break is coming up, right?
Let's see. Yes, hang on. Good. Glad you noticed. I would have blown the entire newscast. Stay right where you are. Yeah, thank God for you people. That's because God knows I can't follow a format clock to save my soul. So we'll talk right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Have you dug the latest jive on the Thursday hour?
No, man.
Well, they got him.
They got who?
You know that man that's been cooking up that jive, selling to these folks around town, making them have them funny dreams?
You mean the hoodoo man?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That cat thought he was just too grand.
Well, Gate, somebody done hoodooed the hoodoo man.
Smack me down with the story, Gate.
Old Johanna from Louisiana, a hoodoo king in every manner. But I found out without a doubt, the tables had turned on him. He ain't got a tooth in his head, poor Joe's almost dead. Somebody done hoodooed the hoodoo man. 10-10, double 10, 45-15, Joe can't drink no gin.
Ain't nothing goes over the devil's back
that don't buckle under his chin. His face looks just like gravel sand, and everybody's got Joe on the pan. Somebody done hoodooed the hoodoo man.
Thank you.
Somebody done cooked up some stuff in a pot. Not too cold and not too hot. They dropped a few drops in Joe's beef stew. Now he's blowing his top. He don't know what to do. They don't know who did it. They can't find out. But he done hoodooed his last hoodoo without a doubt. Somebody done hoodooed. Done hoodooed the hoodoo.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, for Louis Jordan, that's about the close we're going to get to a superstition. Somebody done hoodooed the hoodoo man. And that was 1940, I think so. It was 78 on Shellac, on Decca, and then, of course, on a lot of the compilations as well. So, yeah, Dave had a few other interesting requests as well that we'll get to. But talk to Nick in Baltimore, who's keeping me honest and keeping me up to date. Yeah, John just kind of shook his head, saying, you know, when the callers have to tell you it's time to break, I said, well, hell, I don't look at the clock. So there you have it.
Well, I have his big clock in front of me.
Yeah.
And I could see as bad as my eyesight is, I could still see it.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, I saw it, and I said, oh, well, the break's coming up.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're talking about food and restaurants.
Yeah.
And, there's a restaurant here I love in my old neighborhood, and they always go there. And to me, they have the best pizza in town.
Who is it?
It's Squire's.
Oh, okay.
It's a restaurant. It's a full-service restaurant.
Yeah.
And it's been there since the 40s.
This is Dundalk, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Browning Highway.
Yeah. Yeah. Hollabird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great place. It's the dough, it's the sauce, I don't know, but it's fantastic.
Well, they have Chicago in their heart because it's mostly thicker as far as the crust.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever pizza you get, Meat Lover's Pizza, the pepperoni, they have white pizza. There's that too.
And they do bake at home.
Yeah, it's just great.
Right.
It's all homemade.
Oh, absolutely. But, I mean, they have it bake at home. You can get actually at the stores and take it home and bake it. I don't know that I'd want to try that. But, yeah, Squire's is very interesting. 70 years.
Yeah, they have the prefab ones. Yeah, you can buy.
Right.
And they deliver.
Right, and it's not the same. It's like Skyline Chili. But still, if it's all you can get, it's better than nothing.
yeah. All their food is excellent.
Yeah.
But over the years, you know, there have been other restaurants, and there was a place, and I always associated, this is weird, I always associated cabs and pizza, and the reason for that was there was a place right there in the same general area called Village. It was a Village sub shop, and they had a whole bunch of stores, and it got down to just one. I don't know if it's still open, but the one in my area, it always had cabs parked there, and they, you know, that's how they delivered. You know, sometimes they use the cabs to deliver the pizza, believe it or not.
I do.
But you could save, it was close enough to our house, we could walk to it, but they had a deal, if you bought pizza, you could save the box tops.
Okay.
And like you, if you save like I think it was six of them or five of them, you got a free pizza.
Not bad.
And it was back in the 60s though, but those were the days.
Yeah. More recently, they had Little Village Pizzeria in Dundalk.
Yeah. That's a different place.
Yes, it is a different place. But hey, they also had some cheesesteak places,
good, though,
too.
And
yeah.
they deliver.
Yeah, no, Dundalk actually is rich with food. I'll give it that.
Yeah. Well, it was, you know, back in the day when the GM plant was open.
Uh-huh.
You know, they had the Chevrolet Inn, and they had all these other, and those places thrived.
Sure.
But, you know, Squire still does a good business. I mean, they get people from all over.
well,
coming in there.
The nice thing about Baltimore is a lot of people have been there their whole lives, or certainly decades, and so therefore they remember it, and they'll drive to get there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just, you know, I heard you talking about food, and I get hungry,
yeah.
And I love, you know, restaurants. And right where we live in Spurs Point, so we have the Dock of the Bay,
right?
Which I can basically walk to. It's just a few blocks down, and it's a seafood place. It's a full service restaurant, but a lot of seafood, and it's just. Excellent food.
Nice.
And you have a view of the water. And then they have, you know, the outside. You know, you can eat dinner on the outside. Of course, when the weather's nice, which thankfully it's getting nice now.
Oh, yeah.
So, but that's the food portion of our program.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, you know, I'm sitting here still stunned that Lone Star is no longer around. Granted, I hadn't eaten there in years, but I had no idea it was gone. And, you know, I'm looking at the logo. I'm like, hey, that's still here. No, it's not. You know, that's, I know Arthur Treacher's, for instance, they're gone. But, you know, sadly, a lot of the seafood places don't last, or they become very local, like Ivar's if you're in Washington. But if you're not, you're not going to be eating at Ivar's. So yeah.
It's a shame, you know, when you find out these places that you love are gone.
Oh, I know.
It's just a piece of your childhood, and a piece of your life is kind of gone.
Well, and especially if they made something in particular that you loved. I still think there should be some federal law that if they close the restaurant, the recipe should become public. You know, you shouldn't have to yearn for it forever if they're no longer available to give it to you.
Oh, I agree. I think that should be a law, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the carrot cake from TGI Fridays that they took away unceremoniously over a decade ago and will not tell you how they made it. You know, just
and you
just
know, law. Yeah, and you know, that's the thing. And the other law part of the law should be they can't change the recipe.
Oh, right, exactly.
They can't water it down. They can't, you know.
Right.
Add sugar, whatever they, you know, do to change it.
Yeah, the honesty and eating bill, I'm for it.
Honesty and eating act.
Yeah, yeah.
There
works,
you go.
Works for me. Oh man.
Yeah, I had a couple of radio questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know we've talked about this before. Pre-Sunrise Authority,
mm-hmm.
back in the day,
mm-hmm.
pre-Sunrise, did stations come on at full power? I forget what you told me.
Yeah. In that hour, the pre-Sunrise Authority, yeah. And you would also get that at sunset. Now, of course, it varied because, again, almost all the stations that are affected by this were protecting somebody, and very often somebody significant, like a clear channel frequency. And so it would vary depending on who you were. You know, for instance, of course, in Chicago, the famous example is WJJD, which was a daytimer, but a daytimer, yes, at sundown Salt Lake City time. So in summer, that radio station was on until 10 at night at least. You know, so...
I remember getting them that late.
Right, exactly. And the reason they could was because they were protecting KSL, and that was their sunset. So I don't think it was across the board that everybody got everything. I think all of it was, you know... Specifics.
Well, I remember. I asked you, and I can't remember what you told me. The old when we had WEBB,
right?
When it was 1360, there were 5,000.
Right.
At first, they started out with 1,000, and they went to 5,000 watts.
Right.
They were very directional, and it was a daytimer then,
mm-hmm.
and then in the '80s they got full time, but. But they came on when they were a daytimer with pre-sunrise, so I wondered, I guess that was 5,000 watts.
Yeah, it started in 1967. This before that, it didn't exist as far as that goes. And PSR,
oh, really?
Yeah, it's PSRA, and that's pre-sunrise, post-sunset PSSA authorization. And so this was, again, for the daytimers, the Class Ds, which we call Class Ds now, but of course they were Class Twos then for the most part. They were usually on Class One A or B frequencies, but they had that, sign-off. And so the bottom line was initially for PSRA and PSSA, you couldn't exceed 500 watts. But it had to do with what was going on with co-channel stations. So in some cases, oh, yes, you could. And so, the deal was also had to do with daylight savings time as far as that goes. But, I don't think, even though they're saying, but they said 500 watts, I don't really think it was that. I think it was absolutely depending on what frequency. And
it could have been. They could have been full power. They could have been.
Supposedly, you had to, cease operation at local sunset for the closest co-channel Class A. So there again, that's why JJD could be on as long as it was. So now
wasn't there a 15-minute window though that you could?
Well, it also had to do with whether you were east or west of the co-channel. So, it was clear as mud as far as that goes. But on paper, it was 500 watts, but that they had agreements where it was more than that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, thinking you're a daytimer and you're on 1110 and you're signing off now for this, this redirect message on WBT, that's ridiculous.
Well, you may be signing off for KFAB in Omaha. Depending on where you are.
Yeah.
See, that's the 1110.
Oh, yeah.
When BT
yeah.
sold half of its frequency, that gave KFAB the power. So depending on where you are, you're really looking at Omaha time rather than Eastern.
Because if you're west, you're getting KFAB.
Yeah. So, but it was a very weird thing. I'm trying to think of how it was worded, but you couldn't. It had something to do with you couldn't be west. You had to be east of. It made sense actually. You had to be east of the station you were protecting in order for you to be able to do it.
Oh, so there were all kinds of provisos then.
Yeah. Well, of course, if you were west of the station, you really couldn't do it anyway because your time zones are different, and all that. So, yeah.
See, I learned so much. Man, your knowledge is, like, for example, we talk about Wibbage back in the old days. I could get Wibbage during the day, but never at night. I got WNOX on 990.
Yeah, 990. Well, NOX, I'll tell you, in the 60s, NOX was pretty good. Rob Galbraith did nights, and I used to love listening to him in the mid-60s.
And, I remember them in the 60s.
Yeah.
And they were 10,000 watts, right?
They were a nice station as far as that goes. But, I'm pretty sure that if you were a daytimer west of Class A, you didn't qualify. You had to be east of that Class A.
Okay.
So what you – and that makes sense as the time zones change and all that, that what you were doing was looking toward the west.
Well, we got daylight savings time coming up Sunday. So.
Oh, I know. For like 8 months.
Yeah.
And, of course –
why don't they leave it at one thing?
Well – I do hate it because, of course, Arizona, we don't have daylight savings time. Hawaii and us don't have it. Oh, John says, shut up. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. And we'll do this and be back to it on WGN Radio.
He would spend it on the ponies. He would spend it on the girls. By his mother, gin and roses. For her poor old henned curls. And when his wife said, hey now, what did you get for me? He socked her in the choppers. Such a sweet, sweet guy was he.
And her tears flowed like wine. Yes, her tears flowed like wine. She's a real sad tomato. She's a busted Valentine. Knows her mama, but told her.
How how he loved the old racehorses. He would bet them every day. One day he caught a winner, and the cabbage wasn't hay.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Stan Kenton, the vocalist, is Anita O'Day. And Her Tears Flowed Like Wine, 1944 on Capitol. That was another one that Dave on the North Side wanted. And it makes me wonder what he's listening to, where he's hearing this stuff. But nonetheless, I guess he wants to hear it again, so now he has. All right, so back to what we're talking about, Nick. I forget already.
we were talking about the...
We probably finished pre-sunrise and post-sunset, so what are we going to now?
By the way, I think
I've got a minute, so what is this?
No, I just wanted to thank you for the show. No, we're about ready to wrap up anyway. I just wanted to say thank you, and I really appreciate your time, and I appreciate the program. It's so wonderful, and I enjoy the other callers, and you and John are excellent, and GN is fantastic and much appreciated.
Absolutely. Well, it's always good to hear from you. Thank you.
Same here.
Right,
thank you.
That's the deal. I agree wholeheartedly on GN being wonderful, and I will try to be wonderful on it for the next... Yeah, I'll try not to lose a license for the next couple hours. We've got Fran and Austin, Kimberly and Dalton, and Robert in the Grange. We're going to talk about Stan Dale. Seems like just yesterday they threw him off the overnight show at CFL, but a number of other places too. I think... Robert wants to talk about his days on WAIT. All right, we can do that. And Cindy in Chicago says, scary night. We'll find out what's scary about it next hour right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Ralph from Rockford wanted to hear that. 1978, 20th Century Fox, Edwin Starr. He co-wrote it. Lamont Dozier produced it. Contact. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And that is going to take us to Robert in LaGrange. In fact, I was just thinking about you because I'm playing your Fats Domino next. We lost Robert? Well, hopefully he's still listening. Oh, there you are. I can tell you.
Hello.
Right. Yes. Hi, Robert. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
All right.
Yeah. I was wondering, there was a DJ that I just remembered. He wasn't in Chicago too long. He was on WAIT. His name was Stan Dale.
Stan Dale actually was also on CFL.
Oh, really?
Did overnights.
I don't recall that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow. Well,
I'm sure he's the same guy. I can't imagine he wouldn't be. And
right.
Yeah. So He was outspoken and opinionated and had all sorts of interesting things going on. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. AIT had some interesting people. I think, was it AIT or maybe AAF that they used to have Marty Fay on?
Of course, yes. Marty Fay, you betcha.
He was another very opinionated guy.
Well, absolutely, yeah. and a real entertainer in so many ways. So he was on a number of stations, including he was on BEE for a while, if you remember, and he also had a TV show on TV26 for a while. Marty Fay.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He called himself the loud mouth. There you go.
Right.
And sadly, he's been gone quite a while. I think early 90s. And
probably by now, sure.
Yeah, he was living in like North Miami, and he died in the 90s. But he did a lot of commercials too, and I wish that they had videotaped the people could have kept at the time to see some of this stuff, because some of it was was hilarious. So there was one where he was selling a vacuum cleaner, and it was on BKB, which of course became WLS-TV, and this was live television, of course, and the prop guy hooked up the vacuum cleaner wrong, so just before the show went on, the vacuum cleaner blows dirt all over him, sends the news copy flying everywhere, and of course in the late 50s he had Marty's Morgue, if you remember that, and he was kind of a Joe Pyne type, nasty to his guests and stuff like that. But he had the Marty Fay show on TV26. That was CIU. I remember that. But yeah, he was on AAF, AAF and BEE.
Right. So. Yeah. One more thing about you mentioned WJJD. Was there a reason why? I know their sign-off time would vary from winter
it
to summer.
It had to do with Sunset Salt Lake City time, because the 1A Clear channel was KSL.
So that dictated
it.
Oh yeah, but if you recall, all year long they were always able to sign on at 4 a.m.
Yeah,
if you remember.
Right, I didn't realize it was 4 a.m. in winter, but it wouldn't totally surprise me that they would get that pre-sunset authority.
Yeah.
But
they never had a change
well,
of time.
Well, now
on
remember, if you're talking long enough ago, before Herb Jepko put the nightcaps on KSL, KSL used to sign off at midnight. They were not on the air. And then Herb, who was doing middays at KSL in 1964, went to them and said, I've got this idea for an overnight show. And they said, well, Herb, you could try it, but if it doesn't work, you can't have your midday shift back. And, he said, well, that's all right, and you don't have to pay me. I don't want any money. I'll keep you on the air. And, of course, he owned the time. And the nightcaps did phenomenally well for a number of years till Mutual bankrupted them.
Oh, I see. Yeah. It's really interesting. All the different history of the channels and all.
Well, originally, long before the FCC, when we formed the Federal Radio Commission in this country in 1925, the impetus for that wasn't about the content; it was about trying to make sense out of the collisions on the frequencies. So it was originally much more about that. Then, when the FCC came on in 1934, their mandate was to serve the public convenience, interest, and necessity. But that literally came later. At first, it was how to clean it up, and of course, the frequencies changed and the dial positions changed and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, sure.
When the FCC in 67 announced that they would allow pre-sunrise and post-sunset authority, initially the Clear Channel stations all went ballistic. This will be terrible. It'll kill our skywave. Well, anyway, it did nothing. And so in 81, they pretty much opened it up across the board that if you were a daytimer, you didn't even really have to notify them if you wanted pre-sunrise or post-sunset. So that's the deal.
Right. Another thing, one more thing I noticed about even like WJJD, when they did become, I think they were 24 hours after a while.
Oh, yeah.
But But at night they would turn their power down. They'd
right. Well, it's, you get, again, you're protecting the clear channel.
Yeah.
The original reason right. for this, when they standardized things at that point in time, was to provide coverage in the white space areas, meaning a lot of the center of the country didn't have radio at night. So the 1A clear channels mm-hmm. would broadcast into those areas. And so the 1A and 1A, they would be the only dominant station in North America on that frequency. 1B meant there were two of them, usually at both coasts. So that would be the way. But then you had Class 2. Those were the daytimers on the same frequencies, but they couldn't broadcast right. at night. Then you had the Class 3 that were the regionals, you know, the 5,000 watts and all that. And then the Class 4s, those were the, you know, 250 watts at night, 1,000 watts in the day. There were a zillion of them. And that's right. the way they divvied it up. But, you know, there was talk in the late 70s, the early 80s, that we were going to maybe go to 9 kilohertz spacing like the rest of the world. And instead of that, what they decided, that would have been interesting, but I'd have to get a new radio, but what they did instead sure. of that was they allowed the EB, the extended band, and they, instead of ending at 1600, they went to 1710. And so that's when the EB came about. And when the EB first started and there weren't many stations on it, it was a pleasure to DX at night because, man, they'd travel. You'd hear those stations forever.
Right,
yep.
right. I used to get a station during the winter years ago. I even got WBZ, I think.
Oh, sure, in Boston, sure, 10:30. Yeah. Well, that's a 1A clear. You know, it's interesting. The 1A yeah. clears are non-directional, but they can be directional if they choose. And the case of WBZ is they're slightly directional because they don't want to put that signal out over the Atlantic Ocean. So they're not non-directional looking west, but going east, they're pulling it in so that they're not, you know, broadcasting to fish.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Raleigh. It's always interesting because I know you know so much about radio.
Useless information, yeah. and I'm sure most of it has changed. All right, thanks. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Okay, bye. Yeah, and like we've talked a lot about WBT lately because, you know, they've abandoned their programming and they're, you know, just doing a loop of we're going to do something on this, but we're not doing it yet kind of announcement. But when they sold half their signal, which is exactly what happened, a Buick dealer bought it, and determined that he didn't need all that coverage, so he made a deal with KFAB in Omaha where he basically was selling everything. And that's what killed him at night in Charlotte as the community grew to the west. The nighttime signal wasn't doing it. But that is so tight. You can get them in Maine. You can get them in Miami. But, you know, at night, you can't get them in Gastonia. So some are very, very tight. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. Chevy Drive Chicago is giving you the chance to win the car you want. It's the Pick It, Win It, Drive It from Chevy Drive Chicago. That's with four great choices from which to choose. Need a dependable truck? Pick the Silverado. Ready to go EV? The Equinox EV is perfect. Want an SUV? The Blazer or the Equinox is what you need. Entering is easy. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. In the meantime, shop your pick at your local Chevy dealer, proud official partner of your Chicago Bears.
Yes, it's me and I'm in love again. Had no love and say you know when. You know I love you. Yes, I do, and I'm saving all my loving just for you. Need your loving and I need it bad. Just like a dog when he's going mad. Ooh-wee, baby, ooh-wee. Baby, won't you give your love to me? Any minute in money more. Told me and warned me around. You let your dog bite me. Yeah, the me and I'm in love again.
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. That is, of course, is Fats Domino, Imperial Records. That was the flip of My Blue Heaven, 1956, and that's what Robert and Stickney wanted to hear. I'm in love again. Yes, it's me. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. And that is going to take us to Kimberly and Dalton. Kimberly, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Riley.
How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I was calling when you brought up some of the food places to reminisce a bit. Howard Johnson's, I grew up in my parents, you know, during Lent. Howard Johnson's was one place we went, and back in the day when Burger King had a real fish sandwich.
Yeah.
But Howard Johnson's, to this day, I can remember the taste and smell of their clams. Nobody had clams like Howard Johnson's.
No, that's true. But as I was saying, they also had that dreaded Hojo Cola. They refused to give you Coca-Cola. And I swear to God, it tasted like Listerine.
I don't know if I drank that or not. I don't remember that one.
Yeah.
But there were some wonderful places we had, too. You know, we had the Black Hawk restaurant. I'm not talking about the fancier one. They had one on Wabash.
Uh-huh.
The Chief White Eagle had it. Cheapy, and you had the chuck wagon on Sundays, and he told Indian stories. Well, I should say Native American now. He told stories, and he gave beaded like necklaces and things out to us, and we went there a lot, and that was a wonderful place. And then my mom grew up in Midlothian, had Chuck Cavallini's, you know, that was famous, and people like Victor Mature and Bing Crosby. They took the train from Chicago to golf at Midlothian Country Club back in the day.
Oh, that's
so
great.
There are some great places that are gone.
That Black
Hawk.
That Black Hawk opened in 1920. And wasn't that interesting, because that was the year that Prohibition began. And it existed for 64 years. Otto Roth was the guy, and then his son Don ran it until they closed it in 1984. But man, when Prohibition was there, everybody thought, oh man, it's over. And it instead was just, just a legend honoring, as you mentioned, Chief Black Hawk. So absolutely.
Yeah, it was a wonderful thing. My dad was a man that he liked good things. And he worked the railroad by night.
Yeah.
He took care of apartments during the day. And he worked for a moving truck for his friend on the weekends. But he was also an excellent pool player. So he would play pool. He would win good money. And he'd hand it to my mom and say, you girls go downtown and buy whatever you want.
Yeah. All right.
And we never believed we'd eat hamburgers and hot dogs. We ate a lot of steak. He got good things. And he worked for it. And he won it. And we had quite a good life in the day, with all those wonderful restaurants downtown. And he really worked hard for it, and we enjoyed it. So there was one. We had so many wonderful places. I was an only child too, so we had many wonderful places that they took me. And those days too, your parents could take you in, you know, into the nightclubs and the late night places. So I saw a lot.
Sure.
And, you know, they'd go out for a day, go for a drink, and not like today where it's all taboo and these young people, oh God, you know, God forbid. But I saw a lot of life and enjoyed seeing beautiful places because I was able to do that, you know, and I miss a lot of that. There was just so many wonderful places gone. It's terrible.
We have lost,
I'll say people generally in those days for going out to dinner, they had manners and class, and you didn't have to be rich to have class. You either had it or you didn't. And we have lost that.
Well, we have. Absolutely. And we've really lost it in terms of the way we dress. It used to be, you know, if you were a guy, you were going to have that suit jacket on. If you didn't, they'd lend you one. There were so many things that were just a given have gone by the wayside. But one of the neatest things about the Black Hawk, like I say, they opened in Prohibition, and a lot of people thought, well, that's it. And back then, you know, in restaurants, they'd have classical music or whatever. And Otto, in 1926, said basically, screw that. He had a stage and a dance floor put in and booked a dance band and all that. And, man, the success was overnight.
See, the way we didn't go to that one so much, the one on the extension, the Wabash where Chief White Eagle was, and then there's an extension of the Berghoff on Wabash, too.
Uh-huh.
And so my mom and I, when we went downtown, sometimes we went there for lunch, too. You know, we didn't go to the old one very much. But there was just a lot of great places.
Yes.
And it's gone.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, but you've got your memories.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can, like I said, if you sit and think about it, some of the places as a child or when you were young, you can actually still sit and remember the taste and the smell. You really can if you, you know, think about it.
Yeah.
And it's part of life.
Absolutely. And always good to hear from you. Thank you, Kimberly.
You too, Raleigh. You and Sean, take care.
All right. Talk to you soon. All right, bye-bye. So good deal. Yeah, man, remembering the taste, you betcha. And I still hunger for Royal Castle, not White Castle, but Royal Castle. Gone forever, unfortunately, yeah. Marcella's Pizza. There's so many like that. And yeah, for the bigger chains that had wonderful things that went away, there should be a federal law that they have to give us the recipe. That's right. We should not suffer alone in silence late at night. All right, we'll pick it up right there. If that's the worst that happens to me, I guess I'm doing pretty well on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is Ruby Lee. And it was Lisa and Dundee who talked about her, and I Want to Be a Cowboy Sweetheart. And in her version, Wanna is W-A-N-N-A. I mentioned that because there's an original, of course, and the original is Patsy Montana. And I don't have it. I kind of wish I did. It might be Paxmore, but I can't find it right now. In any event, I don't know, maybe it's online. But the deal is, Patsy Montana, she wrote it, by the way, in 1935, and it became the first time a female country artist sold a million copies of anything, was I Want to Be a Cowboy's Sweetheart. And so, of course, 2025, according to Lisa and Dundee, Ruby was on the Voice doing that, and apparently doing it proud. So, there you have it. She released it on her own label. That was when we were talking with Lisa. I said, she signed anything? And she signed nothing. And so she went ahead and released it on her own own label, Ruby Lee Records. Yeah, and easy to remember. And that's the deal there. But yeah, I would have played the Patsy Montana, but I was sure, you know, because I got a lot of old country, obviously got a lot of old stuff on this computer. So I thought, oh, well, that's on there. But no. So sorry about that. All right. So let's see. Stan is in Dearborn. Stan, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Hiya, hiya.
Hiya, hiya. What's up?
I'd like to commend you on a wonderful tribute to Neil Sedaka last night.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah.
And playing a few of the different ones that he had out.
Yeah.
And I tuned in, I don't know, maybe about 5 or 10 minutes too late. I heard you talking about Neil Sedaka with the Tokens.
Yes, yes. He actually was a part of the original formation of the Tokens, but he left before they had any hits.
Yeah. I was going to say, did you mention that he played the chimes on Church Bells May Ring?
He did that. No, I don't think I did, but he absolutely did that. Yes.
And, and the record that they had, the Tokens with him on lead, was While I Dream.
Yes.
On Melba Records from 1956. And I believe he's on lead.
I think he is, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, but left before anything really happened. But amazing, just an amazing act. It's funny. The only request I didn't play, and I will play it tonight because the guy really wanted to hear it. But I thought, oh please, no. Was
and Alice in Wonderland. That was a good record, and you should be proud of yourself.
That is just my little favorite. I love that record. But and so so that is the deal. I think that and the originally, you know, the Tokens, before they were the Tokens, were the Linktones. And when Neil recorded While I Dream, I don't know if they were Tokens or if they were Linktones. I know when it came out, it was the Tokens on Melba.
Yeah.
But I don't know when he recorded it if they actually were.
Good question.
Yeah. So Hank Medras.
Well, Brooklyn High School. I can't remember the name, but.
Well, usually Erasmus, but I don't think you went to Erasmus, but Hank.
I was going to ask you about a couple labels, which I will, but you know, I heard you and Kimberly talking about the restaurants and how nice you had to dress to go to the nice restaurants. And I remember one time I was in Arizona, we were in Scottsdale, my wife and I was there on a seminar. And then she got to just play all day.
Ah.
But somebody told me to go to this place called Pinnacle Peak.
Oh, sure.
Pinnacle Peak. And it was a place where if you went in there with a tie, they'd cut your tie off because they wanted casual dining.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this was in the 90s. Is that still there?
No. And that closed in 2015. It was there for 58 years. And yes, they were famous for that no necktie policy, and they'd clip the ties and all that.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, Pinnacle Peak, you know what happened, of course. Homes that no one can afford. No one I know, anyway. And so the owners actually, they were offered so much for the land, they couldn't pass it up. But they thought, well, we'll just find another location. And what they found out quickly was, nope, there's no way. Nothing available. Available for anything that would have made any economic sense. So that was it. And it was Steven Spielberg used to film stuff there. And so when they got that offer from that developer, I mean, it was such a boatload full of menus, full of dollars, that they couldn't pass it up. And so they thought that they would absolutely be able to open somewhere else. And they found out, sadly, not in Scottsdale.
We were in Scottsdale, and someone told me, said, well, it's just down the road. Let's just, you know, go down a few miles.
Yeah.
And I thought we drove about an hour to get there. How far was that? I don't even remember now.
Here's the deal about Scottsdale. It's very, very narrow. So you may only be talking about a mile wide. But as far as north and south, holy Jesus, that could easily be an hour. And the other thing is, a lot of what Scottsdale by the post office isn't in the city of Scottsdale. And that has been a huge problem here because they have entire subdivisions that don't have water. And so finally the state passed a law saying if a developer wants to develop, they have to have water first. Well, of course, that ends the developing because there is no water. But you have a lot of areas where literally the homes have hauled water because there ain't going to be any water to the property. So you've got a lot of parts of Scottsdale that never were developed before. Originally, it was kind of a retirement haven for the mob in Chicago, actually, more than anything.
Yeah.
And they were fairly, modest homes. But, man, I'll tell you, the dollars now is just unreasonable, to say the least.
So, I don't remember what we had, but I remember all the ties, you know, being hung up there.
Oh, on the wall, absolutely.
Yeah, it was kind of a unique dining experience.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, the rafters, just everything. And I believe that they, when they removed them, they counted them to be in the Guinness Book of Records. And I don't know if they made it, but I remember that was like a news clip about how they were counting their ties. And, there were other closures. Like there used to be a place, Greasewood Flat, that's gone. And, it's a very different feel now in Scottsdale, to say the least. It's too high dollar for me, but people love it.
Yeah, we were at I can't remember the name of the hotel, but, you know, one of those nicer hotels. They had the seminar in there. And it was right on, I think it was Camelback Drive, right on the border of Phoenix.
Well, it could have been the Camelback Inn back then. That was very popular.
Yeah.
And usually that's what you'd hear. There's many, many more now. And, you know, at gonzo rates, even in summer. But
yeah, this was in the 90s, so.
Yeah, right. I'll bet you it was the Camelback Inn. That was the iconic location.
Yeah. Anyway, I was going to ask you if you have time about a couple labels.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Okay, I've got three records, two of them really good, and one, you know, pretty good, from a label called Success Labels from Des Moines, Iowa.
Uh-huh.
That R&B hotbed.
Right, exactly. Although Des Moines had some interesting, more garage sound, but had some interesting records. What do you have
on it? I Want to Know by the Extensions.
Okay. Okay.
And I got
You know, they only,
Baby.
By the way, Success only had about 10 singles.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
I've got 10.
Yeah.
110, 109, and 106,
okay.
I think.
Yeah, Jimmy McHugh was on.
Jimmy McHugh wrote it, that's
right.
Right. I've got his 45.
I don't want everything. And
yeah, that's it. I don't want everything.
A little, you know, it's funny. It was Success Records. It should have been Lack of Success Records.
So they only had about 10, and Baby Think It Over by the Martinelles. I mean, that's right.
They also had something by Cicero Blake. And I love Cicero Blake.
Yeah, Cicero Blake from Chicago.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, but he put out an album that was like a Jerry Blavitt album, only for teenagers and real swinging adults, and like Jimmy McHugh and the Blend Tones, and you mentioned the Martinelles or Oscar Boyd or Cicero Blake. It was all on that. And, you know, it was they used to run ads in Billboard when they were alive for a minute there. And I think the Blend Tones doing the slide. And it charted.
Okay, I look for the Blend Tones.
Yeah, the Blend Tones. Wow. And that charted in San Bernardino. That's the only place I know. And yeah. And but also the Blend Tones, The Lovers by the Blend Tones was actually hit in L.A. But
I've got something by the Blend Tones, but it's not on Success.
Probably. And who knows if it's the same Blend Tones.
But, that's true, yeah.
But, you know, Jimmy McHugh was at Drake University, and what he was doing, interestingly, wound up being a hit, that I Don't Want Everything. Porky Chadwick played that in Pittsburgh, and it became a Pittsburgh hit. And so, you know, then he had Oh Please,
yeah.
Darling, and we won't talk about Do the Kangaroo.
Yeah, that's the flip side.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So was Jimmy McHugh a...
He was a kid. He was about 19.
Okay, so he wasn't an owner or anything?
Yeah, no, he was a kid at Drake University, and he started this label and put out like 10 records.
Oh, it was his label, huh?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
No, it absolutely was. And
yeah, no wonder he wrote the... they got writer credit on here.
Yeah, absolutely. And okay. So I think that his father was wealthy of somehow, but I don't remember. But yeah, he was in Drake, and that's where he got into music, and that was the deal. So
yeah, I was just wondering if there was any more, you know, R&B to look for that label, but with only 10. Now,
no,
my other label, you should know quite a bit about it.
What?
Got an address on here.
Uh-huh.
This is the Don L label. Don-EL.
Yeah.
And they're on 2020 Ridge Avenue in Philadelphia.
Absolutely, they are. Right there in Manayunk. And they're not a lot on Don L.
There's no?
No, that there's not a lot of records on that. But
I got the Kitten, and I've got the Day Chords.
Okay.
And Roxy and the Day Chords.
Yeah, they had Blend Tones. You mentioned Blend Tones. They had Blend Tones. I don't know.
They had
if
Blend Tones.
Yes,
too.
They did. They absolutely did. Turn on those
what
lights. Turn on those lights, please. Yeah, that was like 1960. And oh man, just trying. Jimmy Wallace was on there. Roxy and the Day Chords.
Yeah, that's one I've got. I'm so in love.
Okay, and yeah, you mentioned the Kittens. Oh, God. And so I'm trying to think who else was on that label. But yeah, the Kittens, there were three or four. Eddie Holman was on that label. Eddie Holman did something.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, I loved Eddie Holman. But
we saw him not long ago. Well, maybe 10 years. 20,
right.
10.
Well, he's still alive. He used to he used to live near me in Philly, and I'd see him at I'd see him at the grocery store. His wife wrote one of my favorite records that he recorded, "I Love You," and I just think it is one of the. If you've never heard it, I'll play it. It was one of the best ballads ever. So, you know, in fact, we kind of corralled him, and John was like, "Can I record you singing it to Raleigh?" And he was going to do it, but then we moved. But John did have the times he recorded singing "So in Love" to me, so I've got that on video.
Wow!
But, yeah. Oh. So yeah. So there was somebody on that label, Little Greer. Had
Little
something.
Greer.
Little Greer was the guy, and I'm trying to think of what the song was. I think it was like "But You" or something. Little Greer. And,
Little Greer.
You know, exactly. And this is like 1962. I don't know who he was. Or I think the first thing they ever released was 1960. It was Henry Carter. And you might be able to tell me who Henry Carter is, because I have no idea.
Henry Carter.
Yeah.
Oh.
Going South by Henry Carter. But the flip side was a remake of What Am I Living For?
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, Don L. And, you know.
Yeah, it seems like everything I got out there is great.
And there's not a lot of it there again. I think they put out like one record in 1966 and one record in 1965 and like four records or five records in 64 and a handful in 63. And, you know, that's it. There are very few records.
Okay. What was Carter's first name?
Oh, Henry.
Henry Carter.
Yeah,
Henry
right,
Carter.
Exactly. Yeah, if you, I probably got that here too. If you can find that. But John says, hang on a minute, don't go away. John says, do this right now, so I will on WGN Radio.
Woke up this morning. Myself together, your love is calling me. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh.
I've got a hangover, oh. And I don't even drink. Your passionate love and the baby is hanging over me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Since Stan and I here have been talking about Don L records, there were subsidiaries, and I don't know if you remember these subsidiary Alpha Records, but that was Fluffy Falana, Lola Falana's brother, not making that up, doing Hangover from Love. So, yes, Fluffy later became somewhat of a star of sorts. I don't know, some TV stuff or whatever, but yes, Hangover from Love was Alpha, and he also had Chestnut. But the most interesting thing about Don L that I know, and interestingly, the publishing was DFW Music, and I thought, oh, must be from Dallas. No, it's not from Dallas. It stood for Donald F. White, the owner of the company. But anyway, you mentioned their address. That address should sound familiar because they were on the same street as V-Tone and Len.
Wow, yeah.
And do you know where the V comes from in V-Tone?
No, I don't.
Well, the owner's Buddy Caldwell, but Buddy's real name was Venton, so the V is from Venton.
Yeah, I have quite a few of the Cruisers. And,
Vito
and
yeah, no, he did much. He did much better than Donald White, believe me. Yes.
Yeah.
But fun stuff. It's always great to talk to you, and I will play.
Yeah, that's you know, this Extensions record was big in Detroit. I think it was. I want to know it was a WJBK even.
Absolutely.
And,
You
know, it crossed over. It was like in the top 20 here for a while.
Yeah.
In 63, I believe.
By the way, it's just you and me. I think we've gone into the break before the news, so that's all right. We can talk, but you're just on the stream. You're not on WGN right now. They're doing the news.
Okay.
All right. Now, so that was a big record. And probably the only big record Donald White had. I don't know.
Well, you know, you'd never hear it on generic oldie shows.
Of course not. Of course, but do you ever hear anything on generic oldie shows? Really?
No, and nothing that we have similar taste, I think, in music.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Yeah.
I'll look for that Extensions. I may have that here. I'm not sure.
And I appreciate everything on KAA too.
Oh yeah, have fun with that.
Well, I'm writing down things that I'm looking up. I hear the title, and I've got a couple books that are by title, and
yeah,
and some, you know, so I can find out who they're by.
Well, you know, it's embarrassing to me to a degree, because when I, about 10 years ago, I had to put something on that AM, you know, or lose the license. You got a program. So I just took old 8-tracks and stuff from the car, and I threw on 3,500 records, and I thought, well, I'll make it better. Well, I've never had time. So it's the same damn records. And except there's far too many of them that are ripped from CDs. And when they're not original, I get really upset about that. But I just,
that's true.
But I don't have time to fix it. So I sometimes grit my teeth when I'm listening. But one of these days, hopefully while I'm still walking the earth, I'll actually make it right. Yeah. But at least something's on it. It's not dead air. So yeah. All right.
Oh, that sounds good. Yep.
Well,
and I was looking at Joel Whitburn's too. He had Neil Sedaka in there,
yeah,
on his R&B book.
Well, yes,
so he liked Neil Sedaka as well.
Well, all he was doing, you know, boy, he was the luckiest man in history, because he made a deal with Billboard, and I don't know if it ever cost him anything, but initially it didn't cost him a dime to reprint those chart information. And,
yeah,
that's how he started doing it. So anything in his books, it just has to do with did it chart on Billboard. And
right, he's got maybe a little paragraph on some people.
Yeah, right, exactly. And it's sadly, Billboard was, as far as I'm concerned, for the most part, damn racist on those charts. Cashbox was probably more honest as far as that goes.
Right.
So you'd see things on those R&B charts that were about anything but R&B, you know, and then you'd see things that should be on the pop charts that were R&B, you know, like Jackie Wilson never having a number one pop record. I mean, that's just wrong.
Yeah, so, exactly.
You know. On and on it goes, sadly. Yeah. All right. Well, I will,
okay, great,
I will look for some
great
stuff.
Great talking to you.
Always. We'll do it soon.
And thanks
for
the info on these labels.
Oh, yeah.
I said, I got to find out about these things. Everything I got on these two labels is great.
Yeah. No, just a handful of records, but they were good records. And the problem was the same age-old problem with all of this distribution.
Right.
You know, and if you weren't with a major, even if you had a hit, it was a rolling hit, so it never amassed enough points at the same time to be high on the charts. You know, that was the biggest problem.
Yeah.
So, anyway, talk to you soon.
Okay, well, have a great show.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and Eddie Holman's wife, Sheila, wrote that. And they recorded it in 1969 on ABC. Pete DeAngelis was the producer of that. So, yeah, Philadelphia royalty all the way around. Fran and Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, now you're making me want pizza.
Oh.
Shame on you.
I know. Oh, I
know. Or shame on me, or shame on somebody.
And so, okay, your all-time favorite pizza, where was it?
Oh, God, I have so many. But I was going to first talk about Gaddy's, because you were talking
about
them.
Yeah, Mr. Gaddy's, yes.
Yeah, it's weird about them. They have some interesting toppings and stuff, but I don't like their sauce.
Yeah, I know, too much sugar.
Their sauce kind of, it's too much, it's sweet. It kind of tastes almost like barbecue sauce.
No, absolutely, it's too Americanized. I was not a Mr. Gaddy's fan, as far as that goes.
No, I wasn't either. Here, I like, there's one called Home Slice.
Oh, I don't know about Home Slice.
Yeah, Home Slice is pretty good, and so is there's a place called Love Supreme Pizza.
Huh. No, interesting.
And they're pretty good. Gary said there used to be a lot of good ones. I think there was one called Leonardo da Munchies.
That's yeah, absolutely. That I've heard of. You betcha. But you know, when I think of Austin,
I don't think you're around anymore.
No, I don't either. When I think of Austin, I rarely think of food. Truth be known. But that's interesting. So Home Slice Pizza, and it's New York style. All right.
So. Yeah, it's pretty good. But I used to live in San Jose, California, and there was a place called House of Pizza.
Ah.
And their pizza was kind of different. I think it was square and it was thick, but it wasn't doughy. I don't like real thick pizza if it's doughy. I like thin crust.
Yes, me too.
Because I want to taste all the toppings.
Yeah, I know it's fighting words because Chicago home a deep dish pizza, but I'm with you.
I like it. I had my grandmother had a friend who was an Italian lady, and she was from Chicago, and she used to make it.
Yeah.
And it was delicious because the dough was like, I mean, it wasn't doughy.
Yeah.
It was cooked through, and it had a nice texture. And so, you know, if deep dish pizza is done right, I like it. But a lot of people just don't know how to do it. It's doughy and,
Now, House of Pizza is still there.
Yeah, unfortunately. House of Pizza is still there, but I'm not.
Yeah, that's right. Kukar's. Kukar's House of Pizza has been there since 1950.
Yeah, I, I really have, since my mom passed, I have no reason to go to the Bay Area, which is sad because, I have, a lot of my friends are in the L.A. area, so if I was going to go to California for a trip, I'd probably go to L.A., and I've got nobody to stay with or visit, in the Bay Area anymore.
Right.
So,
same with me. That's same with me. Anybody I knew is long gone, sadly. And of course, the prices are outrageous. So there's what I liked about House of Pizza is the way they'd slice the pizza into squares. So, the middle squares didn't have any end crust on them and all that. So they sliced them well.
Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah.
But I was also wanting to comment on something that Kimberly said.
Yes.
About, people and kids, going to, especially kids going to restaurants. I know, like when I go to restaurants now, I can't stand to go to a restaurant where they have kids. And it's not that I don't like kids.
No, it's that they're no longer behaved. I mean, they
let the parents. I blame the parents.
I do too.
The kids. They let the kids run all over the place.
Absolutely.
And cry and scream.
Right.
If I acted up in a restaurant, my mother would say, "Do you want to go sit in the car?"
Well, right, and the other part of that was that it was sort of known, like we ate out every night because my mother did not cook. And, if I had done something, I know there would have been hell to pay, so you just didn't do anything.
No, and then since my mom worked in restaurants and so forth, she was really...
She
wasn't going to put up with it, and we used to go a lot of times on family outings, and we'd take all the cousins and so forth, and they had to do that too. But my mom at one point had to take care of my cousin's kids. She had twin boys and a girl. and she was taking care of them for a while, and all they would eat was pizza, chicken nuggets, and it had to be Kraft macaroni and cheese or something like that.
Well, at least it was cheap, 18 cents for that.
Yeah, but, you know, and they, you know, like McDonald's and things like that, but she tried to take them to a restaurant. They didn't, you know, nothing
yeah.
they wanted. They didn't want anything that wasn't, you know, fast food or...
Because they never ate it. It was unknown to them.
But even the people that I know, you know, and I thought, well, you know, these people had some drug issues and other issues. So, but even a lot of the people I know here that are pretty wealthy that have kids, their kids eat chicken nuggets. Of course, they get, you know, healthy chicken nuggets. But, you know. If you can find a healthy chicken nugget.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Gluten-free
right.
or something like that. But
hell,
you know.
Hell, most of them are chicken-free. But
yeah. So, you know, I don't know. But that's all they'll eat. And you can't... My mom couldn't take... She tried to take them to a nice restaurant. They didn't appreciate it. And I said, Mom, these kids are not raised the way I was raised.
Right, that's it. They've never eaten it before, so they're not going to start.
Yeah.
And I understand that.
And they used to, you know, my cousins let them run around in the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things like that. And she had to break them of some bad habits, unfortunately, because the one boy was... he would go around taking the tips off the tables.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, that was okay with his family. Knowing them, I know, you know, just why they were doing it.
Right, they probably wanted a cut.
Yeah. So, and the one boy was deaf, and I guess he thought he could get away with it because he was hearing impaired. You know, which is funny because she let him get away with things she'd never let me get away
right,
with.
Right, right, exactly.
But she didn't let him get away with, you know, with that. But, of course, by the time she was taking care of him, she had more time
right.
than she did when I was growing up because she was always working. So, so I was always staying with my grandparents. But, you know, I used to think, oh, God, I wish she'd help me with my homework the way she helps him.
Right.
But... You know, but it's terrible. I mean, I just don't like to go anywhere where there are kids because they just let them run all over. And one time a friend of mine, we went to a buffet place, and she was trying to, you know, walk back to the table with me, and I'm carrying my food, and she's carrying her food. And this kid just runs right in front of us. And... So I said something to the kid, and the parent got mad at me for saying something with the kid. And I said, well, if I trip and hurt myself, I'm suing your rear end.
Good.
You know.
Good.
And I said, you just let your kid run over and stick their... And then my friend said, yeah, and you're letting them stick their hands in the food and all this. We don't want to eat, you know. Said, we don't blame your child. We blame you.
Exactly right.
And, but it's just too bad, that it's that way because, you know, I could go to any restaurant when I was a kid and I knew how to behave. I better know or I was going to get, you know, some
right.
of the consequences for that. And, my mom wasn't much of a hitter, but, oh, God, sometimes I'd rather she hit me than talk to me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, words slice like nothing else. You betcha.
Yeah, just hit me and get it over
right.
with Mom.
Forget right.
the guilt trip.
Yeah,
know?
I'm with you. Oh, man, I'm with
you. But anyway, so it's just sad. I mean, I don't mind the casual dress and that sort of thing, although I do sometimes like to get dressed up and go out, and there's not really much chance to do that anymore, especially here. I don't think anybody dresses up in Austin.
No. But there, you know, there's casual and then there's casual. You know, at what point is it okay? When it starts to look like
know,
you've...
They're telling me yeah. people are going to the store in their pajamas.
Exactly right.
You know,
or getting on planes in pajamas.
No.
Yeah, right.
You know,
100%.
I'm at least going to put on some regular clothes.
Yeah.
If it's just sweatpants and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know? But... Yeah. Oh, what's the world coming to? I guess it's that, well, too bad that's not the only thing we have to worry about.
Right. It's low on the list, but, you know, spoken like two old people, of course, but it's true.
Of course.
Yeah.
Back when I was a kid.
Well, exactly. And I remember the big thing used to be what you wore on your feet, because as go your feet, so goes your attitude, you know, and girls were expected to wear these nice-looking shoes. And, of course, if it was heels, I was going to fall over and not be able to walk anyway. But the idea that you don't wear flip-flops, I think that's probably good advice.
Yeah, it probably is, but I wear flats. I don't wear heels
anymore.
Oh,
I do too at this stage of my life. I can't do anything else. But I
used to wear, the only thing I could wear, I couldn't wear, my mom was real tall, and she wore spiky heels.
Ooh.
I could not figure out how in the world she walked on those things.
Right.
I wore those, like, chunk heels.
Okay.
And that, you know, that kind of thing. And when I was a young girl, I had to have shoes that clicked when you walked.
Oh, okay.
Those were girl shoes.
Right. Right. Yeah, you could have that little piece of metal put on the heel.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah, I remember that.
I
never cared either, but I do remember that, putting that little piece of metal on the heel. Jeez. Yeah, back when there were actually shoe repair places and you got your heels done. Yeah, now you throw the damn things out. Right, exactly. Yeah, which is really a shame, because there's some shoes I would have liked to have kept. You know, I'd be happy to put new heels or new soles on them, but not an option.
There's not a lot of places you can get things repaired anymore. It's like, I don't know if you ever read Brave New World, but they had a slogan in Brave New World, ending is better than mending, because they were trying to get you to buy new stuff.
Right. Right.
You know, so that was one of the things that they were, you know, the phrases that they were using to train these babies with. But anyway.
Yeah, right, the sleep teaching slogan. Yeah, it's true, but it is absolutely a throwaway society. And I know that big time with equipment or whatever, you know, when something fails at the station, I don't even think about fixing it. It's a question of just getting another one, whatever it is.
Yeah, and of course I have the problem of if my old washing machine goes out.
Oh yeah, we've talked about that. You have a huge problem. And since we talked about that, I can't tell you how many times I've looked at washers, because now I'm aware of it. So every time we're in, you know, an appliance store of any sort or a big box store, I'm over there looking at the washers. I'm like, no, you absolutely have to see to use these suckers.
Yeah, and that's the way with a lot of appliances. I bought an air fryer, and I thought it was going to be that you just push the button, you know, and it goes up every 50 degrees or 25 degrees.
Right.
It's not consistent. So one button will push will go 50 degrees, another one will go 25. So I had to make up a little chart.
Oh, God.
To go with it. And finally I just said, okay, everything's going on air fry. I'm just going to watch it, and as long as it doesn't burn the house down, I'm good.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, we talk about all the things that are supposed to be accessible. This is a no-brainer, and yet more and more it's completely inaccessible, and no one's trying to do a thing about it.
No, I mean, you know, the agencies, both the National Federation and the American Council, are, you know, they seem to be trying to get things done about it, but they can't. The problem with them is they can't agree on anything.
Well, isn't that the truth? Now,
it gets
political.
They're too busy telling you they're not like the other guys.
Right, right. And meanwhile, you can't see what the appliances are doing. Exactly.
Right.
Oh, man.
So, you know, but I think there should be a talking chip in every appliance. It wouldn't be that expensive.
You know, yeah. I'd vote for that.
You can design it, you know, whatever way you want, and you can design it so that you could turn off the speech if you don't want it.
I would absolutely vote for that. And it probably wouldn't cost more than a nickel when it came down to each appliance.
No, I don't think it would cost that much to put those in.
Absolutely. I mean, they
if I could change the world.
Well, there you are. I think that's a song. Yes. Right. If you know,
yeah,
if they can spend,
they
can light things and all those idiot lights and indicators, they certainly could talk. And you know, even if they refuse to talk, if they just do beeps to the point where the beeps were something that you could separate one from another.
Right.
Yeah.
But like my air fryer has beeps, but they're all the same.
Right. They're all exactly. No, see, that won't work. No, but they should.
And it doesn't. And since it doesn't go on, you know, in regular increments.
Right. 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 You just can't count them.
And unfortunately, I didn't know that until I got it home.
Of course not. Right.
You know. So,
oh, man.
Of course, that's what happens when you have to buy things online. Sometimes you just don't know what you're
getting. Oh, you absolutely don't know. No, and, you know, yes, supposedly you can return things, but half the time I just say to John, oh, I'm just throwing it out. You know, I mean, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's so hard to return. We don't have, you know, mailboxes within a new, you know, on the corners like we used to. And I'm not going, you know, all the way to the post office to send back a package. Sometimes I can get Amazon or someone to pick it up.
Yeah. But I mean, even you know, putting it back in the package sometime, I'm like, if it's not a whole lot of money, it's just like, oh, I'm throwing it out. You know, so.
Yep. Yeah. Same here.
Yeah. So, well, good to talk to you as always.
I guess that's all I got for
tonight. Well, thank you for calling and thank you for waiting. And I really appreciate it.
Sure. No problem.
Okay. Bye. All right, so indeed, we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual to see me cry. I wanna die. It's not unusual to go out at any time. But when I see you out and about, it's such a crime. If you should ever wanna be loved by anyone, it's not unusual, it happens every day. No matter what you say, find it happens all the time. Love will never do what you want to do. Why can't this crazy love be more? It's not unusual to be mad with anyone. It's not unusual to be sad with anyone. But if I ever find that you've changed at any time, it's not unusual to find that I'm in love with you.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Tom Jones is Not Unusual, 1965 on Parrot in the U.S. Les Reed, who co-produced it, also co-wrote it with Gordon Mills. It was a great song, and Jeff and Homewood wanted to hear it after 12:30, and now he has. But as I was saying to Jeff, man, I'll tell you, I love that song, but and Tom Jones certainly did it proud, but as far as I'm concerned, the Dells nailed it.
Anyone. It's not unusual to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual to see me cry. Say I wanna die. It's not unusual.
Yeah, it goes on and on, of course, and just it's a great song. In fact, I don't know that I've heard a bad version of it, so that's a tribute to that. 888-876-5593. Karen in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you fine.
Okay, because mine is kind of breaking up, and I sometimes Comcast and I have a love-hate relationship. Now, I wanted to tell Fran, I have a Cuisinart air fryer oven, a toaster oven and air fryer, and it has dials across from left to right, and you can turn them, and when, like, the one from the time, it clicks for every, I think it's 5 or 10 minutes.
Okay, question. Let me interrupt you with a question. When did you buy this?
Last year.
Okay, so it's still on the market.
I would hope so. I had gotten one from a friend, and it was like a touch screen. You couldn't even feel the buttons. Well, okay. My friend Sheila said, oh, no, she said, I think we can find something else, and she did. And she brought it, showed me how to use it. And then I took the manual that came with it, and I sent it to the Braille, a volunteer Braillist in Madison, Wisconsin, and I had it brailled, and they give you such wonderful, explicit instructions.
Good.
It's just incredible.
So which model did you get?
Oh, I don't know. I could ask Sheila when she comes over again.
Because they have multiples, but I do see one. I'm looking at it now, the air fryer toaster oven with grill that does have 4 big knobs, and that because they also have it in digital, the 15-in-1 extra large digital air fryer. But here is air fryer toaster oven with grill. It'll set you back $219 from Cuisinart. Probably on sale somewhere else, but yeah, a little price.
I can look at the manual and see, and then call you tomorrow or call you tonight, and let you know the number, because the number should be in the Braille manual, right?
I would assume it is.
I can look.
This one that I'm looking at here is the TOA-70.
Yeah, I don't know. I got last year for my birthday, actually, the dials, each one has a position that you can feel it clicks
right
when you turn it.
That's great,
and it's fantastic. When you were talking about the food, I have a gripe against the Arby's roast beef, one of my favorites, and it's down in the downtown area, but I can't find any in the neighborhoods.
What, any Arby's location?
Yeah, Arby's roast beef.
Yeah, aren't they everywhere? All right, what do you want it to be? Where do you want it to be near?
I used to eat there all the time when I worked downtown.
Tell me where. Tell me where you want to be.
Oh, Rogers Park, 60660.
Oh, okay. Let's see what we can get. All right. There are no Arby's directly within Rogers Park.
We have to go all the way downtown.
Well, here's one. No, not really. Here's one just west in the Westridge area. And that's probably the closest one, 7555 Northwestern Avenue, Chicago. There's also one in Morton Grove. Yeah, but that Westridge area might not be too far.
Yeah, it would be. I'm 5800 North.
Okay.
And I would have to take a cab, which I do. But that's okay. I manage. Today is my birthday.
Oh, happy, happy.
Or not.
All right. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's after 12, so I can say that.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask for a request.
Oh, you do, huh?
I do. And that's my good old Manhattan's Call Somebody, Please.
All right. Well, since it's your birthday, since you're the birthday girl, we'll get that on for you next.
Oh, because I'll be listening tonight.
Well, that's the last bumper we'll be playing.
Okay.
Buddy, please. All right, let me pull this up.
But it's okay.
Yep, I got it. You'll hear it next.
Well, thank you so much. And I hope I help Fran out.
That sounds nice. A little pricey, but nice.
Yeah, and I'll look and see if I can find the model number. I'll call you tonight.
All right.
And then if Fran wants to contact me somehow, I can give her the number of the volunteer Braille-less.
Okay.
And when they make a copy of something, they keep it and you can buy it. You have to pay for them. I bought mine. And they would still have a copy of it.
Okay.
Yeah, and so if that would help, I'd be glad to help.
All right, good deal. Well, she will let us know, I am sure. All right, thanks.
Okay, and thank you so much.
All right, talk to you soon. So, 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, and yes, call somebody, please, is coming up next. We got Victor, we got Chris, we got Karen. We just talked to Karen, actually. We got Cindy. So Victor, Chris, and Cindy are up next right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. The Manhattans, call somebody, please. Yeah, Blue Lovett co-wrote that, and I might have written it entirely, actually. And the flip side, Joe Evans, who owned Carnival, wrote it, Till You Come Back to Me. Both wonderful Carnival records, 1969, and happy birthday to Karen. How nice. Yeah, call somebody, please. All right, so what do we have? I believe Cindy's been waiting a long time, so Cindy, are you still with us?
Yeah, but your voice is very quiet, and my phone is turned all the way up. It's like fading in and out.
Well, that probably is true, but once we're on the air, it should be fine.
Oh, okay. But anyhow, the restaurants that closed in Norwich Harwood Heights was Basilico, really upscale restaurant, and Edelweiss is still there. I don't know if, what is her name? Rita in Harwood Heights?
Yeah, Rita calls. Sure.
Yeah, I don't know if she knew about this, but she's probably been to Family Palace. The owner of Family Palace passed away, and he was survived by his wife.
Oh,
yeah, so
all right.
That restaurant, I mean, that's like the goal. Everyone's been there.
Okay.
And
yeah.
What else?
When did he die?
Around Christmas.
Ah, well, all right.
And then Old Warsaw closed, and now, what is it? White Eagle closed.
Okay.
Is closing, and they're building condos or apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Star Polski's is gone, too. That was a Polish smorgasbord.
Uh-huh.
And now I guess the place that really is thriving in, like, the area is China Bowl fan.
What?
China Bowl Fay. Everybody loves Super China Bowl Fay.
All right. Well, I don't
know
that
anymore.
I'll pass, but okay.
But my sugar, what's so scary is I was doing jumping jacks, okay, and then I Googled it because I kept testing and my sugar kept going up. And then from Google, it said, well, aerobic exercise makes your sugar go up.
Yeah, we talked about this on the air, and we talked after you hung up last night and or the other night. And the bottom line is don't test it as often as you are.
Well, now what happened was I had breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and a little snack of mixed salted nuts for a snack, and my sugar was 137. And that sugar popcorn is out of my... And then I Googled it. I Googled... what did I Google? If you stop eating sugar, pastries, candies, and all, whatever, will the sugar come out of your system? And they said 24 to 48 hours.
Well, obviously, and everybody metabolizes differently, but the biggest problem, as you're probably aware, is not just, say, sugar. It's the combination. Like, the absolute worst would be sugar with something that has a lot of oil in it as well. So you don't want things that have fat and sugar together, because that's an e-ticket to higher readings.
Yeah, and I saw the dietitian like 25 years ago, and I guess, if I don't go back on it, you know, I'm just going to die.
Oh, God. Well, let's hope that's not the case. I would say don't be crazy, and don't keep doing readings after doing jumping jacks and all that kind of stuff. Just
everything
in moderation.
Sugar.
Everything in moderation. And again,
sugar.
Well, it's a combination. Again, sugar itself is not as bad as when you're having it mixed with certain things. All right.
Yeah, I'm okay. And then the other thing, what was that? Oh, I have a request. What was it? The Man on the Moon from the 1920s.
Oh.
Me and the Man on the Moon.
All right.
And I just have something to say. If you show pride, I try and show pride in my appearance when I go out and about.
Good.
And the thing about it is, I've talked about it before, some drug addict is going to come after you. But then anyhow, and I don't know where the women, like the old women in the ethnic grocery stores get those clothes.
That's hilarious. You don't know where they get them. All right, well.
And then the others, where would you even buy it? And then the thing about it is they still go there. I was in the parking lot today of Butera, and someone's list fell on the ground. I'm like, wouldn't you put it in your frickin' phone?
Okay.
Your list? I mean, people still do that.
All right. Well, there you are. I don't know what to say. You always always leave me speechless, Cindy, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Well, that's Chicago.
Yeah, all right. Well, good deal. Yes. Where do they get these clothes? Yeah, it's sort of like when you go to the airport and you see some of the flights coming in from places like the Dominican Republic. You say, where do they get this luggage? Yeah, I think I saw it in a movie in 1920. Right. All right. So, what do we have here? We've got, I always defer to him because he doesn't call as much anymore. Let's find out what James on the South Side has to say. All right, James, you're popular. Everybody wants to know how you're doing. How are you doing?
Other than having a fall on the bus the other day, I'm okay.
I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, I'm glad you're doing okay. I'm sorry you had a fall. All right, so what's up?
Yeah. Okay, I happen to come across that. Hey, Wicker Park is getting Chicago's first public automated restroom.
How's that going to work?
I have no idea. I'm kind of curious myself.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I guess it'll be popular.
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
Yes.
All right. Good deal.
Well, okay. You take care,
all right,
okay?
Well,
John.
All right, you too, and call us again soon. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it, James. All right, so 888-876-5593. We have the waning moments here, and boy, I do mean waning. So Victor in Silver Spring, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thank you. Yeah, I remember when the FCC forced AM and FM, they couldn't simulcast anymore. There were exceptions.
Yeah.
And I remember the Young Sound. And then I tuned in to WBZ with Dick Summers,
right.
And he was pushing the Boston sound.
Yeah.
My record collection, I got the Beacon Street Union and Alternate Spinach.
Yeah.
And he was really pushing it in February of 68. And it was fun. He said, we're going to put Boston on the map with the Boston sound.
Oh, and then there
I
was,
thought that was absolutely interesting. I would tune in every night to hear.
Well, and of course, Dick Summer was one thing, but then, of course, Juicy Brucey Bradley on WBZ. So
yes,
the Mighty 103. Yes, of course. Yep.
And also, I have a way of dealing with unruly kids. I was in a restaurant with my fiance, and these kids were acting up, and the mother was not doing anything, and I said, okay, I'm telling Santa Claus.
Oh, jeez.
I'm going to report you to him. They got very quiet, and I said, there's spies everywhere, and you don't know which one is reporting back to Santa Claus.
Oh, man.
So that's how I deal with unruly kids.
Well, you know, they've got to be really young, because anymore they're not believing in Santa Claus, younger and younger, but that's a great line for the really young ones. I like it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one time when I was telling this kid that Santa Claus was watching, the mother said, and so is the Easter Bunny. And I said, yeah, I never thought of that.
That's great. Yeah, right. Right. There you are.
But, and then when I had my washer and dryer installed, I had some liquid braille, and the guy that was installing it helped me mark it up and everything, so I could operate it, one dot for this and two dots for that and so forth. And a friend of mine, I have a 1986 microwave oven. It's still working.
Good.
And he took some crazy glue and brailled the dial for me so I could just turn the knob to what setting I want. It's still working.
Good.
I can't believe it.
Well,
1986.
And thank God, because if you had to replace it, you would need more than Braille right now. But that's great.
Exactly.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. You've ended the show. Thank you, Victor. All right, so we apologize to Chris from Greenwood, but tomorrow night, 3 big hours, starting at 10 o'clock Central. So I hope you'll call me back, Chris, and I'll get to you earlier, I promise. All right, so on that note, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. It's what makes the show a pleasure to do. So we'll do it again tomorrow night on WGN Radio.
This means war, plus skullduggery and termites of 2026. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 news, real stories, real fun. Full Mental Jacket, Operation Mincemeat in Mexico as the cartels cause complete carne armada with their wanton weapons of war. And who's the arms dealer? The U.S. Army's own ammo plant in Kansas City, the New York Times reveals. The notorious bastards in the cartels get their military-grade rifle rounds from smugglers who buy the armor-blasting ammo on stateside websites openly available to American buyers. The mad hombres drilling fields so outgun the police in Mexico that their ammo can stop a Jeep dead in its tracks. Beavis and Headbutt. Heedless, slobby, and clueless stunt. Some clown near Cleveland went head-to-head with the heat during an arrest when Doe Malone decided he'd headbutt the officer cops claim. The noggin nitwit was quickly conquered, but Brain Drain kicked the door in on his way to the cop car's backseat cage. Max Head Goon is now facing a felony filing for butting heads with the fuzz. The cold-cocking crank may have time in the clink to get his head together. What's eating Florida? Brace of Entra, when nature crawls. All of the punchline state, now in the crosshairs for a statewide onslaught of termites marching chew by chew. Florida's threat detectives warn the bitsy bulimic beasts will put the entire state at risk in 25 years, potentially eating people out of house and home. Acme exterminators and other reputable outfits implored to impede the invasion. Termites now added to hurricanes, gators, and insurance as the exhaust of living in Florida. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.